Amen. Lord, flow out today. Amen. This is our prayer. Amen. Flow out. Amen. Amen. Fill us. Amen. Break through. Amen. So you can flow out. Amen. Amen. This is awesome. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to do a quick introduction. I think many of you know me, but that's okay. My name is Curtis Barber. I come from Cambridge, Massachusetts. That's where I've been for the last 3 years, or 4 years in the Boston area. This is my third time here at the Summer School of Truth. Hallelujah. And it's been awesome. I think, anyway, some have heard me say this back in my home locality, but these are the best 2 weeks of the year for me. I mean that so genuinely. I mean, I love coming here every year. It's just gotten better and better. And anyways, I'm just happy to be here. I don't get to always spend that much time with the high schoolers because I've been spending a lot of time with the junior hires the last couple years. I think many of the brothers passed through, I guess, that experience of being in the big room together. Well, I'm still there, but I'm enjoying it. But I'm happy to be with you guys this morning. Amen. The singing has been wonderful. Yeah. Man, it's really awesome to hear you guys sing. I wish I could spend some more time here. Hopefully, when we get the junior hires and y'all together, you can teach them a little bit. Show them how to do it. Amen. So this morning, I'm actually so excited. Amen. This whole week that we get to talk about the Bible. Amen. Man, there's just something about it that there's no other book like this in the universe. Right. In the history of the universe, there's never been a book like this. And not only that, but this morning we get to hear about how to enjoy the Bible, right? I mean, I think a lot of people haven't ever heard Bible and enjoy put together. Man, this is like a secret that I bet many Christians would love to hear. Just people in general, that they can enjoy the Bible. So this morning, the way I'd actually like to start before we get to talk about enjoying is that there's kind of something I was considering in is, what do I enjoy the most? And I realized things that I enjoy the most are the things that I treasure or the things that I care about. I have a number of friends that I've grown up with, and now we actually live all over the world. I have some close friends that live in Germany, that live in Dublin, Ireland, that live in Texas, California, North Dakota, right? And so whenever I'm with them, I just treasure that time being with them. And I don't want anything to come between. I don't want anything else to come up. And I realize the Bible isn't just a book to the Lord, but actually He is the Word of God. And as I think we heard about yesterday, that everything in the Bible that is profitable to us, that is relatable to us, that's important to us, God has put in the Bible. Amen. And I think what kind of struck me, where we can kind of see how the Lord treasures the Word, is actually we have to go to the end of the Bible. So this morning, I need everybody to have a Bible ready, okay? We need to be Bible ready. And we're going to go to the very last page of the Bible. And so there's a couple words I want you guys to walk away with this morning. And anyways, I hope you hold on to them. So the word that I want you all to remember is this word, warning. Because actually the Bible, in a way, ends with a warning. Okay? So what I was considering is that sometimes when someone warns us, we just think, oh, they're being mean and they don't want me to do something. But actually, a warning may show you how much someone values something. It may show you their evaluation of a certain item, of a person, of time, right? So you may have, he got a brand new Model X Tesla. Says, you can stay here at the house and you can drive any other car, but you can't drive that, right? I'm warning you, if you do something, If you drive it, you're going to be in trouble, right? So you realize that he really cares about that thing, right? Or some of you may have older siblings, or may have been that older siblings. You have video games or a book or your room, and you're like, don't go in my room, because what's in there is very personal and is very private to you. And you treasure that, and you don't want anybody to touch it. Well, actually, the Bible ends in the same way, okay? So I'm gonna read to you, but follow along, verses 18 through 20. I testify, this is the Lord Jesus, to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this scroll. And if anyone takes away from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this scroll. He who testifies these things says, yes, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So this was wonderful to me to realize, yes, the Lord is warning us. But actually, what did I mention before? Actually, the Bible is the Word of God. But also in John 1:1, we find out that the Word is God. So actually, if you say, oh, I need to add something, or if there's something I don't like in the Bible and I want to take it away, you know what we're doing? Is we're actually trying to add something to God, or we're trying to take away something from God, because we're saying he's not enough. But what he's showing here is, Ben, everything that you need, everything that's on my heart that's important to you, I've put right here in this book. And as soon as I realize that, I want to know what's in that book, right? This is the creator of the universe. This is our Savior. And he has embodied himself. I think we learned that word last night. Embodied means to take something abstract, invisible, who God is, and to make it concrete. If you want to know who God is, we got to read this book. But not only do we read it, but we enjoy it, right? So I am just so impressed that maybe this morning we'd have a realization. God warns us not to add or take away, because he's just saying, this is it. This is everything. You want to know the meaning of life? This is it. You want to know the solution to all your problems, your destiny? This is it. It's so simple in a way. But we know that the Bible is mysterious. So this kind of brings us to our first point, in that we need to read the Bible. How about we all say that? We need to read the Bible. Amen. One more time. We need to read the Bible. That's good. You know, there's a brother. Many of you probably heard his name, Brother Watchman Nee. We enjoy much of his speaking. And he was someone that had a voracious appetite for the word, meaning he had a huge appetite, just insatiable. Okay? Does anybody know how many times he read the New Testament in 1 year? 52? Close. 50. It might have been 52. But he read the New Testament 50 times in a year. And it said this became the foundation of all his speaking. This became the foundation of his Bible, of his knowledge of the Word. Because he just realized, I need to read the Word. I need to. Who is God? It's in the Word. Do I want to know who God is? I need to read the Word. And so what did he do? Once a week, he read the whole New Testament. Man, I tried to do that this year. I made it to like day 4. I was having to spend like 2.5 hours every day trying to read the Bible. Actually, a number of us in our house, Jeff, who was helping to lead the singing, he did it. Jeff and I lived together. He read the whole New Testament in 1 week. We did a challenge. We challenged that if anybody does it, we'll buy you all you can eat sushi, right? So actually 4 brothers in our house did it. One was in law school while he was doing it. Another is a full-time student. And then the others are both full-time working ones. And they all read the New Testament in 1 week on top of everything that they did, right? That was so impressive to me. I think they enjoyed it. You wouldn't spend that much time doing something if you didn't really enjoy it. So this, amen. trying to find my page. Okay, here we go. So, what do we need to do? We need to read the Bible. That's right. Okay. And so, how do we read the Bible according to Roman numeral 1? Let's read that together.
We need to read
the Bible sequentially
from cover to cover.
That's right. Can anybody tell me a story in the Bible where they read the Bible sequentially? I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament, and if you're familiar, it's in the Books of Recovery. If you know what the Books of Recovery are. Okay, I'll tell you. It's in the book of Nehemiah. Okay? Quick background, books of recovery refer to the books in the Bible that talk about where the children of Israel are coming back to Jerusalem after being in captivity to rebuild the city, to rebuild the walls, okay? This is awesome. I want you to listen to this. This begins in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "And when the wall was built," and then we jump to verse 5, "then God put into my heart to assemble the nobles and the rulers and the people." And then they spend about another 50 verses naming all those people. So that ends chapter 7. And then chapter 8. "And all the people gathered as one man in the open area that was before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses." That was the whole Bible to them at that time, which Jehovah had commanded to Israel. "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read in it before the open area that was before the water gate from first light, first thing in the morning, until midday in the presence of the men and the women, all those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra stood up upon a wooden platform that had been made for that purpose." Wow! They built a whole platform just for that purpose so he could read the Bible. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed Jehovah, the great God. And all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground." And then he names all these ones that were with him. And it says, "And the Levites and these men, they helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. And they read in the book, in the law of God, interpreting and giving sense so that they understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who helped the people understand, said to all the people, 'This day is holy unto Jehovah your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.'" The first thing they did when they finish rebuilding the wall, when they complete the wall, they gathered everybody together and they read the Bible. I am blown away. And the people, they wept at the reading of the Bible. Have we ever wept when we heard the word, whether personally or someone spoke it to us? I have, multiple times. I don't think enough, but this is amazing. But all they did was they stood there and they began and they just read through and they helped ones to understand. Just to read the Bible is really something. There's not enough people on the earth today that are reading the Bible and understanding the word. This is awesome. And today we can be those people. There's another quote that I'd like to just read. It says, "I regard using the Bible to be more important than anything else. We should not consider reading the Bible as a pastime or think that other things are more important. Reading the Bible is indispensable and cannot be put aside." And I want to read a couple other points. So, It says, even though someone may be advanced in their spiritual walk, God's revelation to him will still be confined to the words that he has spoken in the Bible. God speaking today is merely a repetition of his own word. If we want to know God speaking, we have to know the Bible. If a person does not know what God has spoken in the past, it's difficult for him to receive his revelation in the present because he lacks the basis, the foundation for God speaking. If God wants to speak something to others through us, this hit me, he will also do it on the basis of what he has spoken in the past. If we do not know what God has said in the past, he cannot speak through us to others, and we are useless in the eyes of God. I just appreciate that we need to read the word. And then these are just some points I'm going to finish with on regarding reading the Bible. The best way to read the Bible is to read it daily. Let's all say that. The best way to read the Bible is to read it daily. Amen. The best time to read the Bible is in the
morning.
The best time to read the Bible is in the
morning.
That's right. Psalm 119:47. I anticipated the dawn. I heard one story of a brother. He was asleep and he woke up early. And he needed to keep sleeping, but he looked at his alarm clock. Oh, Lord, only 2 more hours until I get to spend time with you. Wow. Then he went back to sleep, and he woke up again. Lord, only 1 more hour until I get to spend time with you. He anticipated. He anticipated the dawn and cried out,
yeah.
I hope in your words. He just couldn't wait to get up in the morning and read the Bible. I don't know if that's been my experience, but I want that.
Amen.
I want the experience of that psalmist and of that brother. So the best time is to read in the morning. It says, we also need to read the easy portions as well as the difficult ones. Even if we do not understand a portion of the Bible, we still need to read it. Read book after book without selection, choice, or preference. We should read the Old Testament and the New Testament simultaneously. Don't wait to finish the Old Testament before reading the New Testament. We should not only be spiritual to read the Bible, but we must turn our heart. Just turn your heart to the Lord. You don't have to say anything, but just inwardly, Lord, I turn my heart. We need to build up a habit of spending time in the Word. We have a wonderful opportunity this week. We have 15 minutes set aside every day to read the Word. We have an awesome chance to begin to build a habit. And then this verse, 1 Timothy 4:13, says, until I come, attend to the public reading, to the exhortation, to the teaching. He's just encouraging, keep reading the word. Have you ever read the word with someone? Have you ever read the word out loud? Man, it's wonderful, right?
Yeah.
So you may think, is this that enjoyable? But I challenge you, try this.
Yeah.
Try this. The most stable I've ever been in my life is when I've been consistent in my Bible reading.
Yeah.
Seriously. I bet if you ask people that are close to me, they'd be like, I just sense when he's different. They may not know that I'm reading the Bible, but if I were to tell them when and when I've been consistent in my Bible reading, that's when things have been the easiest for me. It doesn't mean that everything's hunky-dory, but it just means there's a supply. People of the world that don't have the Lord, they don't have that supply, but we do. And it just comes in a simple way through reading the Word. Amen. Okay, so our first word was warning. The second word is precious or treasure that I want you to remember. The next word is genuine. I was appreciating this word a lot. And this brings us into our next point that we'll get to. But this word genuine, I want to read you some of the definitions. It says, actually having the apparent qualities or character. Sincerely or honestly felt or experienced. Actual, true. And I feel like we may relate to this last one. Free from hypocrisy. Right? Genuine. When I say genuine, I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about us. That what the Lord desires is that we would be genuine with him. I think a lot of times when we're meeting people, we have to small talk, right? You kind of got to get to feel them out. We're getting to know them. It's not that you're being genuine, but you just don't get to go that deep. But what I've appreciated with the Lord is that he just wants us to be genuine. Okay? So I want to read a couple points of someone being genuine with the Lord. So this comes from the book of Habakkuk. And it's in chapter 2, verse 1. Anyways, Habakkuk, he's a prophet. He's talking to the Lord. And in what he says, he's like, I'm going to wait for Jehovah to answer. And I will reply to what he says concerning my complaint. He even says, I'm complaining here. Yeah. I'm complaining to the Lord. But I want to hear what he has to say about my complaint. That, man, I don't think I talk to the Lord like that. Okay, here's another one. This is in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. And God saw their deeds. This is of the city of Nineveh. It was very evil. That they turned from their evil way, and God repented for the evil that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So you think Jonah would be happy, right? Jonah actually wasn't happy. He was actually full of prejudice. He really didn't like these guys, and he didn't like the fact that God forgave them. So you know what Jonah says? But it displeased Jonah greatly, and he was angry, and he prayed to Jehovah, was this not what I said when I was still in my land? Therefore, I anticipated fleeing to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God. He's complaining. He's mad that God is gracious and compassionate, long-suffering, and abundant in loving kindness, and repentant of evil. He's mad that God is this. And he says, now, Jehovah, take my life. I pray for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's pretty genuine, right? Jonah's really telling the Lord how he feels. Okay, I bring this up because I feel like, actually, if you read much of the Old Testament, what's wonderful is you have plenty of examples of ones before us that have been genuine with the Lord. And I think one very good example, and we've heard this verse before, is Jeremiah. Who thinks they know what verse I'm going to say from Jeremiah? Anybody know? It talks about words. Who's bold enough? Austin. Be loud. Amen. Say it again. Amen. That verse is delicious to me. Amen. You know why? Because it doesn't say your sentences or your chapters or your paragraphs, right? Or your books were found. But he says, but your words were found. But he missed the last part of the verse. And it says, and they became to me the joy and gladness of my heart. Man, you know why it was the joy and gladness of his heart? Because he was genuine. Jeremiah, I would encourage you, read some of these books. Read Jeremiah, read Lamentations, some of the minor prophets. They have a conversation back and forth with the Lord, right? They're like, Lord, why are you doing this? I don't like this. Why are you doing this to me? But they're just being very genuine with the Lord. And what we realize is actually this is what the Lord wants. And he says this is explicitly in the New Testament. He's speaking to a group of Pharisees, guys that really know the Bible. This is in John chapter 5. He says, you search the scriptures, Ben, that in them you may find eternal life. But he says, it's these scriptures that testify concerning me. And then what he says next is, yet you are not willing to come to me. You are not willing to come to me. And even in other places, he speaks to them. He says, your lips, right? They speak praise, but your heart stays far away. It's speaking regarding, they're not genuine. They're not sincere from the Lord. So are the words of the Lord gladness? Are the words of the Lord, you know, the joy of their heart? I doubt it, right? Because they just see it as a law of a bunch of things to do. But I just appreciate, Lord, I want to draw near. Okay, so everybody, open up your Bible real quick. Okay. Go to a verse that you like. Go to any verse that you like. You have 30 seconds. I'm going to read to you my favorite verse in the Bible. I won't tell you why, maybe later. Okay. So I only have a couple minutes left, but I hope that we would maybe practice and we could try and take some of this home with us, okay? So the verse that I have is 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore also we are determined, whether at home or abroad, to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him. I just love that part. It's an honor to be well-pleasing to him. So when we read the Bible, we don't just have to verse by verse study it, okay? But actually, this phrase, pray reading, I want you to forget about it, okay? What we want to learn to do is pray the word. Where's your Bible? No, that's his Bible. Where's your Bible? Okay. I'm not giving you a hard time. I want you to enjoy what we're going through. Okay, so each one of you, take a second and read the verse. You can read it quietly, out loud, whatever. Just take a second and read your verse. Okay. Don't say anything, but I think when you read, there might have been a phrase or a word or even the whole thing stood out. Okay? So I want you to read it again, and when you get to the part that you like, or maybe that sticks out, maybe it even convicts you. And I want you to just turn it into a little prayer, okay? So you can, same thing, and we'll just do it for 30 seconds. So you can do the whole verse as far as you can get in 30 seconds. Okay, go. To gain the honor. Lord Jesus, gain the honor. Being well-pleasing to him. Lord Jesus. Here to honor you. Oh, Lord. Lord, I love you. Amen. Amen. Okay. This can be a form of prayer reading, is that we just read the Bible. If you like something, pray it to the Lord. If nothing sticks out to you, keep going. Right? No one's saying right now this is what you have to do. Okay. Another way that some of you may be familiar with, but once again, throw it out, okay? Is we can take the word and we can chew on every word. We go back to Jeremiah, your words were found, okay? It doesn't say your verse was found, it says your words were found. Okay, so I challenge you, pick 4 words or less in your verse and just take that. And just, if you want to just speak it again, you can just add Lord and say it. Or you can read it and say amen. Or, Lord, do this in me. Lord, I want this. Just add a little something. Don't do too much, but just use the word and maybe make it a prayer between you and the Lord. Okay? Let's go. Lord, I want to gain. Gain the honor. Gain this in me. Lord. Okay. I hope what you're practicing is being genuine with the Lord. The reason I asked you to go to your favorite verse is because this is something that you like. You know, I don't always share my favorite verse with everyone because sometimes people are saying, well, why do you like that? But what's precious is that with the Lord, he always likes what we enjoy, especially in the word, right? And so this is, in a way, is us being genuine with the Lord, right? Anybody ever heard of the phrase low-hanging fruit? Okay. Find verses that are low-hanging fruit. What this means is you see a giant apple tree, and there may be some really good apples at the top, but those are hard to get to. Start simple. If there's one you can reach, just pluck it, you know? You don't have to jump to the book of Numbers where all the names of the tribes and the people are listed. That could be hard, you know? Start with a verse that you know. You know, start with my verse, 2 Corinthians 5:9. Well-pleasing. Lord, make me well-pleasing. Low-hanging fruit, right? As we practice just to be simple with the Lord, to be genuine with the Lord. You know what? It begins to become our joy. I think this was Jeremiah's experience, right? It said it became the joy and gladness of his heart. I mean, if you read some of the things that happened to Jeremiah, I wouldn't have wanted to have been the prophet of God. I mean, this is some bad stuff. But you know what? Jeremiah conversed. Jeremiah opened his heart. Jeremiah talked to the Lord. He said, "Even I don't like this. Why are you doing this?" As we practice to do this with the word, what happens is that actually it becomes our joy. It becomes our supply. So I want to just end with a quick story, if that's okay. It'll be very brief. Who's heard of Billy Graham? Okay. Well, I want to tell you a story that I think a lot of you haven't heard. So Billy Graham, he's probably the most prolific evangelist in the last 100 years, I think on the whole earth. Okay. And back in the 40s, he was going to begin a evangelist crusade. And so what he did is Billy Graham, he loved the Bible. And so someone actually told him, and I'm not telling you to do this, but they told him to question something regarding the Bible. So he went, and he was considering. And then what he did is he laid it on the stump of this tree, and he said, "Lord, I may not understand everything in this book, but I believe that this is your word," right? And so after that, he was supposed to have a crusade for about 2 weeks of just preaching the gospel in the city of Los Angeles. This was just after World War II ended. I think it went on for 10 to 12 weeks of just ones being saved, because Billy Graham's experience was he would even leave Bibles around the house, and he would pick it up, and he would just read a verse, and then he'd put it down. And he called it sipping on the word. And so when he would speak, I encourage you, go to YouTube, find a Billy Graham message, because all he does is speak the word. But when he spoke, he believed that it was truly the word of God. He was saturated with the word of God. And I think a lot of the people that heard him speak had the experience like that in the book of Nehemiah, where they heard it and they wept, where they heard it and there was a release. There was even a joy in their heart. So I would just encourage you this week, even if you want more experience, talk to the serving ones, talk to your peers, talk to them why you like the Bible, why you don't like the Bible, but exercise to be genuine as we come to the word. Okay, my time is up. I'm going to hand it over to my dear brother Edison.
Okay, how about we all stand and read the title of the lesson? All right, together. Us very strongly, okay?
The way to enjoy the Bible by letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
And this lesson is based on Colossians 3:16, or at least the title is Colossians 3:16, which was a possible verse for you this morning when you spent the 7 minutes, part of which you pray read this verse, maybe. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, this lesson, though lesson 3 in the booklet, is lesson 24 in your book, in your lesson book. And this particular lesson is very fitting as kind of a consummation of a series of lessons on the Bible. Because our learning of the Bible or contact of the Bible is not merely for knowledge. And it's not merely just to gain an appreciation. Although both are very good and necessary. But what is most important is that we would have a way to enjoy the Bible. That's why it's the last lesson in the lesson book. Because after your time is done here, you need a way to make the Bible part of your life. Okay, and we will tell you the way. But the brothers felt, and I totally agree, we are not going to wait that long. We need to tell you the way now. Okay, it's kind of like this. I hope everyone likes ice cream. Right? Do you like ice cream? Okay, great. Okay, so this will be an apt kind of illustration, I think. So just maybe within the last 2 years, I went to Vermont, and there is a place you can go to, and that is the Ben and Jerry's ice cream factory. How many have you been there? Okay, so I've never been there until this time when I went. And so what you do is you can get a walking tour of the place. So I did, right, with my kids at my wife's suggestion. So it was very safe for me to do so. We can go enjoy the tour. Okay, so you watch a video about how they came up with the idea, who the founders are, why they settled in Vermont, you know, how they grew the business, and you know, how it's made. And then you can see how the ice cream is made through these windows. You know, you can see the process where they start with the different ingredients and then it comes down and all the way ends up in the freezer. And then at the end of the tour, it's not that long, you get a sample, right? In a cup where you can eat the ice cream. Okay, and with, you know, whatever they select, you get to eat, but I guess they're all good. So I had, for the first time, American Dream. You know, it's vanilla ice cream with chocolate swirls, waffle pieces, and caramel. It's a very good ice cream flavor, by the way. Okay, so that's not bad. So it's kind of like you get introduced to ice cream, or Ben and Jerry's ice cream. You get an appreciation of the ice cream, and then they give you a sample at the end. And then they want you to buy some, right, and take it home, and so you can eat at home. Okay, this, we're gonna do them one better. We're gonna let you eat the ice cream when you watch the video. We're gonna let you eat the ice cream when you look through the window. And we're gonna let you eat the ice cream for a sample, and we'll give you free ice cream to take home, wow. Right? That's the Bible. Amen. It's not going to be a 10-day tour, and then that's it. Amen. You need a way for the time while you are here to enjoy the Bible. Amen. And you need a way to take it home. So although this is both the kind of the ultimate or the consummate point related to this lesson, the series of lessons on the Bible, it is maybe the most important. And so we want to tell you about it now.
Right.
We need to learn and practice to enjoy the Bible.
Amen.
And actually, the more we contact it, the more you'll enjoy it.
Amen.
Okay? And that is really our testimony.
Amen.
Every time we come in contact with the Word, there is appreciation,
right.
There is enjoyment. Okay, so I'd like to continue from what Brother Curtis has kind of opened up. And I like to mention one matter before I go on, and that is the title says, The Way to Enjoy the Bible. And the outline has many ways, and we do want to tell you about the ways. And actually, the ways might be infinite.
Yeah.
Right, so we list a lot of verbs, and those are very helpful verbs. You would just take them. But in your personal experience with the Lord, you will find that S is infinite. That the number of ways for us to enter into the Bible or to enjoy it is infinite. It's highly personalized. It's highly personalized. So, right, Curtis, before the meeting, mentioned you can invent your way. As in, you know, it's not out of imagination, but you need to find your way in your interaction with the Word that makes it personal to you. Okay? So it takes practice, right? Okay. But even though there are a lot of words, let me point it out, right? So in Roman numeral 1, you have the word read. That's a verb. Roman numeral 2, pray read, right? Or pray, right? That's kind of the most important kind of verb. The third Roman numeral is study. You can study. Roman numeral 4, memorize. You can memorize. Roman numeral 5, what? Speak, right? Speak. And Roman numeral 6, sing. And Roman numeral 7, practice. Okay, that's kind of a summary. But the title is The Way. The Way. Singular. With an M dash. You know what an M dash means? What does that mean? So it's the way to enjoy the Bible, M dash. What does the M dash mean? It means what? It means it's almost like an equal sign. M dash means equals. The way to enjoy the Bible equals by letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. That is the way. So you can have infinite ways, but there is the way. That rests on Colossians 3:16. The way. And the operative verb or the word in this verse this morning is let. That is the word that every other verb needs to rest on. Let has to be giant in your contact with the word. Okay? So you can put many verbs on here. We have read, pray, sing, speak, and you have some other verses, right? Declare. Maybe consider. And our exercise that Brother Ricky has led us in considering Psalm 119, the interactions, there's so many. Yeah. You can muse, you can delight yourself, but all of them will rest on this word, let. All of them. Because there is a very important part of your being that needs to be activated every time you contact the word. Related to this word, let. It is your spirit every time, but there is another part, and that is your will. You have to let. Every time you contact the word, and actually when you contact the word, you have to let. You have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This word let is not like sometimes you think it's very passive. You know, I just let it happen. Let the word dwell. You know, I just let it happen. That is not the case, especially in the New Testament. This word strikes at the heart of God's intention, which is to gain cooperation. You have to let. You have to choose. You have to allow. You have to give permission. You have to make room. You. And it has to do with your will. You have to choose. The Lord doesn't just barge in and force this on you. Right? He may appear, he may attract, he may constrain, but he will never force you. And you have to choose to let. What he really wants to do is to come into you, right? In as the word and through the word. He wants to fill you, and then he wants to come out of you. Okay, so I asked the brothers, we can sing that song, Fill My Spirit Up, because that's exactly what happens, that he wants to happen. He wants to fill us. He wants to break through the parts in us so he can saturate us. And then he wants to come out. Amen. And every time he is operating, he is met with some kind of operation, switch. Huh? That is, you have to say yes. Okay, you have to do it. So let me describe another way of enjoying the Bible, letting the word dwell in us richly. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. The word that's outside of us, right, this is the word of God, has to pass through from the outside and get all the way in. Right? So you have to read it. Amen. Just can you imagine if you never read the Bible? How could it ever get inside? Is it possible? No, it's not possible. Of course, it is possible you could read the Bible and not get anything out of it. But it's also possible for you to read the Bible and get a lot out of it. If you don't read the Bible, it is impossible for you to get anything out of it. So I would not minimize any kind of reading. Even if you don't, you say, oh, well, I'm not getting anything. Just read it. Okay? Because there is still the chance when you're contacting the Word in this way for you to get something. But you have to let it happen. And I mean this practically. You have to make room in your schedule for this. Right? We say, oh, I just let the Word dwell in me richly. When it happens, it happens. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you would let the Word, it means practically, you need to make room in your schedule. You need to set apart the time to do it. That involves the exercise of your will. You're going to say, Lord, I'm going to set apart this time, and that's yours. Right? It's kind of like making an appointment, okay, with the Word. And you say, this time, I'm coming to meet God in the Word. And nothing is going to take this time away. Right? Imagine if you scheduled an appointment with a very important person, whoever that is, right? Maybe the president, or maybe for some of you it's like some kind of other appointments. I don't know, getting your hair done or getting your car fixed, or I don't know what it is. If it's important to you, you wouldn't miss it. Even if you're talking to someone, you'd be like, I gotta go. We can continue this later. I have to meet someone else, much more important. Okay, we have to treat the Bible this way, right? This is a kind of allowing, okay, practically speaking. Okay, what about praying? Right, your mind, and sometimes it's wandering. Okay, so you have to choose to say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to set this aside. So I have to do this a lot. Sometimes when I come to the Word, I'm reading it. And the only thing that's really reading is my eyes. Huh? Like I'm reading the words, and I read it, and it's as if I never read it. Yeah. It's like I read it, and I go, what did I read? And I have to go back again. So my mind is somewhere else, right? So my eyes are on the page, but my mind is somewhere else. Maybe it's something I have to do during the day. Maybe it's something that bothered me yesterday, right? I'm worried about certain things. So I've learned actively we have to choose and say, Lord, I'm going to set that aside. That, y'all can wait. Okay, y'all can wait. About worrying about my test, this time I'm going to contact God. Okay? So that is an exercise of your will as well. So there are some resistance here. And when we contact the Word, we have to use our spirit to eat, which requires the deepest opening. Okay, so let's go back to the ice cream example, right? So suppose you have the ice cream and it's in front of you, and you have a spoon. Right, that's like prayer reading, right? It's like a tool. And you have the spoon, and then you put the spoon into the ice cream, and then you scoop it up, and then the next thing is you put it into your mouth, right? Suppose you don't open your mouth. What would happen? It just bounces off. Like ice cream will get everywhere except in you. Right? It's using our spirit is like that. You have to learn to open your spiritual mouth and your spiritual stomach to contact the Word. Like I said, it's very hard to describe. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. You have to practice to do it. Right? When you contact the Word with your spirit, you will enjoy something.
Amen.
You will enjoy something. I'll tell you what happened to me. So this is at least 18 years ago now. I remember, this was in Anaheim. I was in the full-time training then. And so my practice has been, in the morning time, I would take some verses. Prayer reading is one of my favorite ways to contact the Lord. You have to find your favorite way, but this is my favorite way. And so I have many kind of experiences of this, but this one was extremely vivid because, I'll describe it to you. So my practice is I'll just go into a parking space and, you know, whatever, 7 by 12, right? And I would just circle around and I would just pray read, right, in the parking lot. And I took this verse, John 6:63. You know this verse? Right, and you know, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So usually in the morning, you don't want to get that loud, you know, right? You want to take care of other people. So I started kind of, right, it was just exercise, and I was pray reading. I was praying over the word. And at a certain point, I don't know what happened. When I hit, my words are spirit and life. It was like, it is exactly like a spring. It's like the earth opened up and water came out. It was like a torrent. And I remember looking around and be like, am I the only one? It was unbelievably real. I was incredulous. I was looking around looking for someone to say, I mean, is this spilling over to you? I mean, I don't understand. Okay, so prayer reading, right, helps us to contact the Spirit in the Word with our spirit. But that is the most important part. You have to get nourished. In 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul tells Timothy, you need to be nourished with the words of the faith. That word nourish is you need to nourish yourself. So a lot of times here we're trying to help you. But actually the best help you can get is if you contact the Lord in the Word yourself.
Right.
Once you touch it once, you'll realize, man, this is the way I'm going to take for the rest of my life.
Right.
This is the way. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Now I'm going to switch to the other part. So this is the first half of the cycle, you may say, which is taking the Word into us.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, the Word is outside. It has to pass through the outer layer, and it has to get all the way inside. It has to hit all the way inside. Don't let the ice cream just dress you outside. Okay, that's no good, right? It has to get inside. But then there is a second part that is also letting the Word dwell in you richly. And that is, you have to let the Word come out into your soul. It first passes through, right, your mind. You have to understand it. So it's not that helpful for you to pray read the Bible in the Arabic. It would be the Bible, but you don't understand it. It will do nothing for you. But once it touches the spirit through the mind with some understanding, then the second part is the Word that is in the spirit must come out and dwell in your soul. Okay, that's the heart. So it's our heart is the conscience plus, so that's the heart. The mind, emotion, and will, and our soul. And many times, after you have eaten the Word and it nourishes you, the Lord will use that to gain more of your heart, right? Your mind, emotion, and will. And it's really an experience of someone dwelling there. If someone is dwelling somewhere, it means that they can do whatever they want, right? Would you say, first of all, would you say a chair dwells somewhere? Of course not. You will only apply the word dwelling to a living being, right? Then second, dwelling is not visiting. It's not giving hospitality, right? So if I were to go to your room, I would, temporarily, and I'm allowed to stay there, I am very conscious of what I should and should not touch, right? I would just sit where I'm supposed to sit. I will not arrange your books. I will not touch your stuffed animals. I don't know if you have any. Well, I would not try to arrange your bed, change your sheets, change the frames on the walls, because I don't dwell there. What the Lord wants to do is to dwell in us.
Amen.
Okay? So that requires a lot of permission. So one example recently that I experienced the Lord doing this through the Word is that where I am, I'm involved with other saints in a kind of service, and there have been a lot of kind of changes, and so I was not happy with the changes. You know, when changes come, they're problematic, right, to some of us. Okay, so then there was someone I was serving with, and I laid out all the reasons why that's not good, that I'm not happy with them. And it's so reasonable. It's so reasonable. If you heard me, you would agree with me, I think. Okay. So, of course, that serving saint agree with me too, right? Okay. Then I was in Philippians. And then the word was the Lord's word, right? It became Rima to me. Do all things without murmuring and reasoning. Okay. Then that was the Lord's word to me. And the Lord was adjusting. You love your reasoning so much. You just love to justify yourself. You just want to be right. And you want to be reasonable. So I said, Lord, but I am right. Then he says, do all things without murmuring or reasoning. That was it. Okay, that is the word coming out from the Spirit. So it supplied me, right? When I prayed it, I enjoyed it. Then the Lord's word was operating and say, let it go. Just let your reasoning go. Do you want the word to dwell in you richly? Let your pathetic, pitiful reasoning go. Just let it go. And so, at that point, what I had to do? I had to choose. Yeah. Well, you want the word of Christ to dwell in you richly or not?
Yeah.
Just let it dwell there.
Yeah.
Let him move that ugly piece of furniture out so he can move in.
Amen.
Okay, so that is an example. You will have many of these experiences, right? Sometimes it's just this thought about a brother or a sister. You're like, I'm so right. That's a terrible brother. A terrible sister. And the Lord may come in and say, no. Oh, they are a shining star. Right? They're a sheep full of life. At that point, you have to say, yes, Lord, I agree. I agree. I let my thought of that person, I let it go. Okay, that's a making home. All right, the last thing is probably most applicable to you, and now I'll end, which is in Roman numeral 5. Okay? I'll give you two assignments in your group time because I'm running out of time. The first is you have to read Roman numeral 5 because I'm not going to read it. Second assignment is there are a lot of verses in this lesson. You have to look all of them up. And you have to find verbs that applies to each of these arrows. Okay, so I'll give you an example. So here, obviously, the first thing is read, right? The second thing, maybe pray read or pray. This one, the soul, we can say dwell. Let it dwell. And then the last one is speak. There are subverbs in those verses that describe one of these main verbs, which are all resting on the word let. Okay? Let is the most important verb in this lesson. Okay, but there are so that's your homework number two, is to find the subverbs through the verses. First is to read Roman numeral 5. But the point on Roman numeral 5 is that one way to let the word dwell in richly is to speak. Amen. You may say, well, that doesn't make sense. Isn't dwelling this way? I would say, no. If you read Ephesians 5, 18 through 19, you read those verses too, which are sister verses to Colossians 3, that word speaking modifies being filled in spirit, which means that you get filled in spirit by speaking. It is both when you're filled, then you speak, and you get filled when you speak. Okay, so you have to read all these verses. In 1 Corinthians 4:13, it says, but as it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We believe, therefore we also speak. Okay, so you need to exercise your spirit of faith and speak. Right, the last stanza in that song we sang is, flow that river out. You have to let it flow. A lot of times, you're sitting there, and the Spirit is speaking something. It's like, get up and say something. And you just go, no. That is an opportunity for you to let. Amen. Right? Brother Lee described it as, it's a pump, pump, pump. It's just like, you know, I don't want to, but I also want to. You know, that I don't know if you have that feeling, but that is the feeling of the Lord wanting to get out. Amen. So you have to let by standing up and saying something, right? In 1 Thessalonians 5, you have always rejoice, unceasingly pray, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Then it says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Prophecies, in the New Testament sense, is to speak for the Lord and speak forth the Lord and speaking the Lord into others. Right? That's for the building up of the church. So, when I'm done, which is in about less than a minute, there will be time for you to speak. Amen. This will be an opportunity for you to practice. Amen. The more you can complete the cycle, the better. Partial cycle, okay. Complete cycle, the best. All right? So this is an opportunity for you to practice. Amen. Let the word dwell in you richly. Amen. Okay, we need to practice this entire week. Amen. This lesson is applicable for every single lesson. And it's applicable when you go home, in your localities, in your daily life. Amen. Okay? Amen. What should we do about this? All right, perfect. Time's up. Okay, so the brothers will bring the mic and let the river flow. Okay, whatever touched you, just let the word come into you, course through you, and then speak something of the word of God.